Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Ancient Mother, I hear you calling. Ancient Mother, I hear your song. Ancient Mother,
and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and the beautiful music that we opened the show with is done by Deva Haley, who is my guest today. And we're going to be regaled, if you will, with her wonderful musical productions dedicated to the goddess in all women. Deva, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's absolutely a pleasure, and when I received your CD, and I think it was a couple of months ago when I got it, then I just really, really enjoyed it. I was so surprised at the wonderful musical arrangements, but more than that, how your lyrics with the music just seemed to flow, and how you really came from so many different modalities with your music and blended them. Now, I'd like my audience to know a little bit about you. You are a spiritual guide. You love to speak publicly and obviously are a very fine musician. And you are involved in a program called Inspiring Women Summit, where there are like 53,000 people, women, that come out from over 160 countries. This is incredible. Now, you have been involved with the Institute of Noetic Science. You were the founder and executive director of the Full Circle Fund. You worked as an associate consultant at the Boston Consulting Group, where you did management advice to Fortune 500 companies. You have degrees. But when I look at this background, I think, my goodness, you seem to have gone from one particular angle from the analytical side to the other flow of the other side, which is dealing with, I might call it, the spiritual. And yet you've blended both of them so exquisitely. Tell us about your journey.
Well, it's really funny to hear you frame it all back like that. And it's very true. You know, I have had a pretty wide range of experiences. I've always been someone, probably since about age 18, that has been on a very profound spiritual path and was always longing and looking for, you know, how do I really tap into the sacred? How do I express the sacred? And because I grew up in a community, California, Marin County, sort of largely affluent community, one of the blessings of that, among others, was I got to see how the typical American dream of, you know, making a certain amount of money and having a house with a white picket fence and all of those, you know, however many cars that people think is, you know, really going to bring them satisfaction doesn't bring the level of satisfaction or true meaning that people want. And so, you know, when I was about 18 years old, I said, well, obviously that is not the answer. The American dream doesn't seem to be bringing the level of happiness, because I could see people around me in the community that I was growing up in who came from backgrounds of wealth. There was a lot of money around, but there wasn't a lot of deep spiritual connection or satisfaction. And so it really put me on a journey of finding, you know, well, what really is the point of all this? And it's taken me from, you know, deep in the Amazon, where I spent time living and working as an anthropologist, to the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies, where I spent time working as a management consultant, and then eventually said, you know, my soul is really calling me to do something pretty radically different, which has caused me to found the Inspiring Women Summit and to run programs that are called Soulful Women programs that really go into each of the different archetypes that are depicted on the album. The album has 13 different songs, and each song is focused on one goddess from a different tradition, choosing traditions from all over the world. And if you dive deeper into each of the goddesses, they represent one aspect of the feminine. And so our wisdom school really explores these 13 different aspects of the feminine in a very deep way. I'm focusing my doctorate dissertation on that topic. And so the music was really my way to, how do I express really some of the very deep feminine mysteries, the ancient mysteries, and provide it through music in a way that people can access, connect to in, you know, 5 to 7 minute chunks.
I agree. Now let's play track number 2, which is Tara. It's the heart mantra, and this has a Tibetan bass. So Seth is going to put that on so we can listen to it for just about a minute. Tibetan, and this is in the Tibetan culture a persona that is not unlike Kuan Yin. It's related to forgiveness, mercy, compassion, and unconditional love. Now, I want to also play another piece, since we've played that one, to show the diversity of your music, and this is track number 6. This is a Saraswati that is about children, and this is just charming.
Child would see the stars are all aligning to bring magic alive for you and me. I laugh and I play, feeling oh so carefree. The hummingbirds are buzzing, awakening our creativity. Saraswati, sing your song through me. Oh, Saraswati.
There it is with the childlike innocence. I love the children. I just absolutely love
people have mixed reactions.
Yes. How in the world were you able to capture that? Did you have some kind of game going on where you kept microphones around, or somebody was tickling them? What happened?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I am one of the people that I know in my community has some kids, so we had a bunch of kids around. And originally, I was trying to actually have the kids sing along with me and have them be some of the primary voices on that song, because this aspect that I wanted to capture with this song is called the muse, and the muse has many different aspects of her, but I wanted to capture the childlike innocence that's in all of us, and that many of us, no matter how old we are, tend to lose that part of ourselves that is wonder, that is filled with excitement and innocence. So I had, I had some kids around, and it didn't work out so well to have them trying to sing in tune with me or on the beat or anything like that, but capturing some of their joyful spirit as they were, exactly as you said, playing and tickling each other, and we had microphones around while they were doing that, and yeah.
What a production. Now, each of these pieces of music stands on its own, and I think that what you've done here, bringing in all of this different instrumentation, you have different instruments like the ipu drum, and that we're going to be hearing the music of Pele pretty soon. You've got all of these wonderful people that worked with you on the vocals. This was quite a sophisticated production. How long did it take you to put all of this together?
You know, I put myself on a pretty fast pace for what we did do on the album. It was about a year and a half of production, and as I was leading this women's wisdom school, we focus 1 month in our trainings on each archetype of the feminine. So what I did was, as my group of women was working and really diving into the archetype, learning about it, studying it, a month at a time, I would create for myself the goal of, okay, each month while we're in the energy of each of these, I'll write a song that goes along with, you know, everything that we're exploring and capturing. And so I would try. It was actually great because it kept me on schedule as we would change the altars and change the colors and switch the aspect of the feminine that we were really exploring, both the light and the shadow side. I would then switch gears and say, okay, now I'm going to switch and write a song on a goddess that embarks or embodies this aspect of the feminine. So it was really, you know, there's the surface is the album, but there's quite a deep process and journey behind it.
Right, and that's why I'm so impressed with the music that you put together. The aspect of Pele. Pele is such a tremendous personality that in the Hawaiian Islands, I mean, the legends, the mythology about Pele in Hawaiian lore is quite phenomenal. And she represents tremendous energy, but she also has a temper. And
yes, like a volcanic temper, you might say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating how with each of these images, of these different cultures, different environments, whatever century it is related to, however it has evolved, there is an association that really resonates with women. And it's fascinating to watch this. It really, really is. And I think of Pele, when people go over to Hawaii, and if they go to the volcanoes and they take a rock, there's an understanding. You don't take anything away from there, because bad luck's going to follow you. And it's amazing how that attitude, people send the rocks back. I mean, the Forest Service gets all kinds of rocks that they get back because they said, no, this hasn't worked for me. We took this from Pele. This has got to be returned. And I just find that it's just so intriguing, the relationship of the feminine with the earth, and then with the way that you have incorporated it into music. Of course, in history, women were typically the healers, the herbs. They were the ones that were the caretakers, as they still are in our world today. They just wear a different costume, or costumes, I should say. And so you've been able to bring all of this together and to write the lyrics and then to do the music, I think is really something. Since I've been chatting about Pele, let's play a minute of Pele, because it's a fascinating composition.
Pele, Pele. Cover.
lost my patterns till they're there no more. He escaping from the fiery den. Go too close, you won't come back again. Hey, Pele, hey, Pele.
Hey, Pele, hey, Pele. She is, and there's so much more drama, but I love the drums in this.
Yes, yes, that song was actually really quite a collaboration with a beautiful Hawaiian hula kumu, a teacher of the Hawaiian culture. And because I'm not Hawaiian and I am not someone who's deeply studied that culture, I felt it was only appropriate to collaborate with someone else who speaks Hawaiian and who could help bring that spirit of Pele. And it was beautiful. As we got together, she let me know that the goddess Pele had actually come to her. And the way that we met was she said, Pele has a chant that she would like me to sing to you, and she laid me down on a chair, and then she just did this whole song. I'd never heard her sing before, so the meeting was also for me to check out, you know, is mm-hmm. it vocally going to be a good fit?
Right.
And it was really beautiful, and this aspect of the feminine, Pele, is really about the primal aspect, that part of us that is wild, that is instinctual, that is raw, and that for many women gets really put underground because, you know, it can be labeled as something that's really unfitting or unbecoming or unladylike, but it's a part of the energy that really fuels us, and it's a part that we really need to reclaim like the rest.
Well, I think if anybody's familiar with Hawaiian dancing, the hula, the marvelous music that they have is extremely sensual. And the drums just create such a tremendous amount of drama. And it can either be something that is going to be soothing and tranquil, or it can be so dynamic that it's very disruptive. And when you look at their history, they used the drums when they were ready to go to war. I mean, it would just create a tremendous emotion. And music is vibration. So you have those vibrational frequencies that really can affect someone. But the hula, you know, I think it must have really been a huge trauma when the Europeans came over and they had all these puritanical views. And here you came across a people that had a love of life, a love of their bodies, a love of love, you might say, were very productive people, very hardworking people, but they lived in an environment that just they had adapted to very well through the centuries, and to find this liberation and to come over and say, whoops, you can't have that anymore. It's so nice to hear this music, to be able to bring it out in such a way that it can resonate.
It's interesting, as you say, bring it out and have it resonate, because there was a lot of back and forth dialogue, because, you know, my album, as you can tell, is really a fusion of, you know, very modern sounds and very traditional. So she and I would back and forth about how to have, if you keep playing that song, it goes on and it gets pretty thumping. It really becomes a real danceable tune. And so how to preserve enough of the heritage and the culture that it still felt very Hawaiian and authentic, but also modern enough with enough fusion instrumentation that would be really juicy and alive and something that a more mainstream audience would be really excited to listen to and dance to, and not just put it aside as, you know, a relic that wouldn't be alive for people today. So we had a lot of back and forth, just walking that fine line between the ancient culture and the modern interpretation of that.
Well, I think it's marvelous. Now, how did you discover that you really had this acumen for creating music? I mean, you've got all of this business experience that was behind you. What brought you into the musical aspect?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting story. I am someone who has always loved music, as many of us do as children, and I was someone that loved to, you know, audition for plays and be in the musicals. But actually at a relatively young age, I was told that, you know, I was good, I had talent, but I didn't have enough talent to really make it big. Yeah, you know, I was told, you know, I'm never going to go to Broadway, and so I should let it go. And then I had a moment in high school where I really tried to prove myself and say, you know, I do have something musically to offer, and I, you know, did a big presentation that was it was awful. I got totally off beat, and I actually ended up feeling pretty humiliated. And at that time, I said, you know, I'm never going to do music again. That's it. My parents were right. I don't have what it takes. And it really took spirit bringing me back to it as I was in India, and I would be sitting on my meditation cushion all day having, you know, a challenge, really getting settled, really opening up to spirit, really allowing that meditative peace I was looking for. But every evening I would go to the banks of the Ganges River and I would listen to these kirtan songs. Kirtan is part of the Hindu chanting tradition. And I would find my heart open, and I would find myself in a very joyful, ecstatic place by singing along these chants that I didn't even understand. And so as I started doing that more and more, I realized, you know, this is actually a very powerful spiritual practice. It was much more efficient, faster, more joyful than meditating or a lot of the other spiritual practices. So I went back through that door and just started, you know, singing a lot more, not for performing, but just as a part of my own soul expressing. And little mm-hmm. by little, I would have people coming to my house. And then before I knew it, my husband was saying, you know, let's not do this public gatherings in our home. Let's do them in a yoga studio. Let's do them outside. More and more people started coming. And then at a certain point, I just got that knock from spirit saying, okay, it's time to actually step out with a CD, because people would often ask me if they could get a copy of the music, and I had nothing to give to them. And so for me, it's really a testament to all of us. This is not just for me, but if there's something that really is your joy, even if you think, you know, no matter who you are, there's usually someone that's going to say, you don't have what it takes, you're not good enough. And for me, it's really been a journey to say, you know, I may not be the best Broadway singer in the world, but I still have a gift that is impacting people in a real way. And if I trust that and I let my ego get out of the way and just allow what's wanting to come through me, what is this spirit asking of me, wanting to sing through me, and just allow it to flow, then something really beautiful can happen.
I agree. And your CD is beautiful. We're going to be playing track number 11, which is about Spider-Woman, and we'll tell you. Well, yeah, you heard about Spider-Man, but this is Spider-Woman, so listen up and listen carefully, because I think you'll be intrigued with it. Between the worlds, she weaves her thread, and that's just the tip of this beautiful song, Spider-Woman. Now, Deva, this was based on the Hopi culture. Tell us about
yes.
the Spider-Woman and the Hopi people, because this is a fascinating culture. They are extremely colorful. They have a legacy that is just incredible. And I think there's a lot of superficiality relating to the understanding of these people, but you've really gotten into something here with music. How did you put this together?
So this one was really more of my own intuition, and I had engaged with some Hopi elders, in particular an elder woman, and I was having a very difficult time. I thought I should really try to capture one of the chants of one of the Hopi elders, and they live in very remote parts of the Southwest. I was trying to find someone who was in New Mexico or Arizona, but mm-hmm. living out in reservations where, you know, there's not a lot of easy access to cities or to recording studios. So it was going to be quite a feat. And so I really took it upon myself to just really tap in with the spirit of who Spider Woman is. And she is a creator being in their lineage and in their ideology, who sings the world into life. So it's interesting. There's a parallelism even with biblical, you know, before anything in this tradition, there was the song, and mm-hmm. you know, "Let There Be Light" was the Christian, but for them, you know, it was about the sound, and the sound came very first. And so the whole song is about the Hopi people and the whole legend around Spider Woman, who weaves this world into existence. And it's said that there's actually an opening they call a sapapu that people climb into. And so this current generation, this current world, people climb into this current world, and that's how life as we know it came into existence. And so I'm not a real deep scholar on this particular tradition compared to the other ones that I've spent a lot mm-hmm. more time, but I was really touched and fascinated by it, and I wanted to showcase some of the indigenous people of the Americas as part of this album.
Well, you have gone into your music, and of course we've just played a few excerpts. We have the Tibetan, you have the Arabic, you have the Sanskrit, you have English and Hawaiian, you have Hebrew, you have just such a compilation of diversity that I think is exquisitely done. And I would say it would make a very interesting meditative CD for someone to listen to. And of course, I'd say be quiet, be by yourself, and just listen to the tones, because the variety in the tonalities is just marvelous. You have done just an incredible job with this. And I think that the story, when someone gets a CD, they get the little bit of the story and what went on behind the scenes with it as well. And I think seeing what it takes to bring all of this beautiful tone together is really something. Now, you have this conference that is done once a year.
Just one quick thing before we move on. I wanted to let people know that you can download a few of the tracks for free off my website, which is deva.com, DEVAA.com. If you go to the page that's called Sacred Alchemy Launch, which is the name of my album, Sacred Alchemy, there's a couple of tracks that you can get for free. The headline track, which you didn't hear today, Sacred Alchemy, which is a much more like a single. It's more like a blend between spiritual mm-hmm. music and Madonna, danceable, and another one called Kali. And you can hear all the other ones there, too.
Well, that's marvelous. Yes, we're going to be playing the Alchemy later on in the show.
Great.
But I wanted to talk about your conference for just about a minute. Tell us about this conference, how long you've been doing it, and how did people find out about it?
Sure. So the Inspiring Women Summit has been going on for about 2 years. It's online and on the phone and on webcast, so it's totally free. It's really part of my intention to democratize access. That's a mouthful, but to make available some of the best women wisdom teachers and inspiring women who are alive today. So we've had, I can't even remember how many women we've had at this point, quite a lot, but there's a whole archive that's available to you. If you go to inspiringwomensummit.com, inspiringwomensummit.com, you can listen to probably, you know, maybe 70 or 80 different teachers and speakers on all different topics, everything from women's spirituality to women in leadership and power to relationships to sensuality and sexuality, creativity, all different topics related to women, led by women. And so that is an offering we make to the world and really want people to have access like we have here in here in San Francisco. There's quite a lot of amazing teachers here, but not everywhere in the world do people have the opportunity to hear and get exposed to a lot of this great work.
Well, I think that's absolutely fabulous. Sacred Alchemy, Deva Haley has been my guest today.
She's got 13 songs on this CD. You can go to her website, sacredalchemy.com, and actually listen to some of them that we did not play today. So you can
and, you know, actually, it's sacredalchemyalbum.com. Sacredalchemyalbum.com.
Album.com. Okay, sacredalchemyalbum.com. Well, Deva, Haley, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. And when you come out with your next CD, be sure and let me know.
Great. Thanks so much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Check out Deva Haley's website, sacredalchemyalbum.com. Also, inspiringwomensummit.com. I think you're going to find that information very interesting as well. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, if you want to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a new listener, all I want from you is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Quickly, I do want to remind you, day after tomorrow, I am going to be presenting a phenomenal class called Quantum Mind, along with Robert Newman. Now, both Robert and I really have a passion for empowering people. He is going to be delving into feng shui, how you can yourself make a difference in your environment, in your life, so that you can enjoy more prosperity and harmony. And then I am going to be supportive of you, helping you to recognize and develop your own intuitive skills. And we've got a wonderful person that's joining us. Her name is Sammy Thompson. She's a harpist. So we are going to have fabulous music, fabulous food, and just a wonderful time. You're going to walk away from this just feeling absolutely terrific. It's going to make your day. So I would like for those of you in Western Washington, remember, all you have to do is give me a call, 253-582-5604. We still have a few spaces open. We'd love to have you join us. It's going to be at 5250 Bridgeport Way West at Bridgeport Place. That's the name of the facility. It's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. We'll be opening the doors at 9:15 for registration. It's $39.95 if you prepay or $45 at the door. Again, like I said, we're going to be serving refreshments. This is just terrific. I can't tell you how excited I'm about it. So give me a call if you want to schedule to be a part of this fabulous class, 253-582-5604. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, this is April, and I'm actually calling from California.
Oh, where in California, April?
Oh, out in San Diego. Southern California.
Okay, let me give you my mental impressions, and then you can ask a question if you like. The first thing that I'm observing, April, is a hesitancy. You are sort of walking on not really hot coals, but they're sort of lukewarm, and that is just an illustration of what you feel like you're going through. I believe that what is happening with you is that you're beginning to recognize certain aspects of yourself that no longer serve you. And little by little, you are peeling away layers of habit, attitude, belief systems that you thought would never change. And you're becoming aware that certain things no longer apply to you. And this is very liberating if you take it in the right context. It can be very frustrating while you're going through it because you're going to question yourself on so many things. But you have to realize that you have, on a subconscious basis, certain things that you learned from whatever modality you were exposed to, and you are in the process of unlearning them. And so it's going to cause you confusion at times. You're going to wonder if you should trust your own judgment. I'd say, of course, you're a very level-headed person. I mean, people come to you for your insight and advice for good reason. You are very clear. But sometimes with ourselves, it's a little bit tougher. So I want to encourage you, number one, to have faith in yourself. Number two, realize that as you are peeling away the old that no longer suits you, it's going to give you a chance to have this level of self-discovery. I think you're going to go through a two-year cycle here. It actually started this past April. So you're going through this process here, and you need to be patient with yourself. Don't be surprised if you get irritated with people. Don't be surprised if you find yourself being upset over things that maybe a year ago wouldn't have even bothered you. It's part of the process. It's part of what you're going through. And you're having to redesign who you are as a person. Of course, that's going to bring a lot of changes in your life. And some of them you're going to get excited about, and others you're going to think, gee whiz, was I so smart in making these changes? Do I really want to do this? I'm going to say yes. But you're going to get comfortable in what I'd call your new skin. And you're going to say, I really like this now. I'm at ease with it. So be patient with yourself. You've got a lot you are growing through. I really think you're doing a good job. But you have a tendency to beat up on yourself. Don't do that. It's not worth it. You're too nice a person. Do you have a question for me?
You're dead on. That's so funny. Well, thank you, first off, for that insight. And in complete alignment with what you just said, I do. I feel like I'm opening up. And in the process, I guess I'm wondering if you can see if this is leading me not just to a better life, but is it going to be a partner with me? Because now I'm finally open to love, which is a new thing for me, because I have not been thinking about that for a while.
Well, I'm going to say something to you that may make you in one moment go, woohoo, and then the other moment you're going to say, oh, what a pain. You're going to find, because you are discovering a newness about yourself, and with this comes liberation, there are going to be many different men that are going to be attracted to, many different persons that would say, ooh, I'll come into your life. You're going to say, wow, isn't this great? I'm getting this attention. I really like it. You're going to feel just all of the good feelings. The hormones are really going to be in good place. And then all of a sudden, one day, after a particular association, and you don't even have to get seriously intimate. I'm just talking about you becoming aware of people differently than you would have in the past. And you're taking time to really think things through. And what you're going to discover, you're going to say, well, it's nice getting all of this attention, but I want someone that really has character. Yeah. I now know that I'm an attractive woman. I'm intelligent. I really enjoy who I am. But I'm really not finding myself too excited about some of these people that are coming into my life. Remember what I said about going to woohoo first, and then it's like, oh, my God, what have I started? Well, the truth is you need to go through this. Because you need to have this understanding that some of the old belief systems you had about yourself don't apply anymore. They just aren't there. So as you become comfortable in your own skin, then your discernment about what it is that you really want in the quality and character of a person, that's what's going to be important to you.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to find yourself attracting the person that is going to be your partner. But I don't think that that person is going to be in the picture immediately. I don't see how they can be, because you're still growing through this effect. And I would say just relax, enjoy the journey, and do the woo-hoos about yourself when you are really aware of who you are. You go, my goodness, look at how long it took me to get to this point. I'm actually awake.
Mm-hmm.
Do I make sense?
Oh, yeah. I just hope that it doesn't take 2 years for this to all happen, and then all of a sudden, now I can get in a relationship. Like, I feel like...
Nah. There you go. That's your old self. That's your old self. You are trying to confine it into a little box. You want an add water and mix like instant coffee. It doesn't work that way, dear.
Okay.
So what I want you to do, I want you to be at home with who you are. I want you to enjoy yourself as a human being and enjoy the people around you. And for heaven's sakes, don't have a lasso on your hip saying, okay, I'm going to get this one for Wednesday and that one for Thursday. Now, you can try that for a while, but it's not going to work very well.
Oh, no, I don't dating. I don't do that.
I know you're saying you're not doing it. But I'm asking you to, one, have a good sense of humor about this and try to stop being so serious about this. Relax.
What?
Enjoy who you are. You're going to have that Mr. Wonderful in your life. But you're still in that patterning where you're trying to control. And that's okay. Uh-huh. I understand it. But you haven't gotten through it yet.
Yeah. Okay.
You're going to do just fine.
Okay. Well, thank
all
you.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And you enjoy your journey now, all right?
Thanks, Donna.
All right, April. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone line is open if you'd like to chat with me. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Are you a nosy person? The reason I'm asking the question is we all are aware at how rapidly privacy seems to be disappearing. Part of it is due to technology. Part of it is due to security. I mean, there's so many things going on. You wonder, is there a corner in the world where I can be just totally private? Well, there's something that comes up, and our caller prompted this. Prompted me to discuss this. It has to do with privacy. So I know we're going to be taking a break in just a minute, and I wanted to share that with you. The thoughts, then the research that's come up about privacy, especially between partners. When we come back, I'll share that with you, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Oh, before we go to break, I want to let you know, you're hearing the ad spots by Loop Paradise regarding Topperson. Now, this is a fabulous cream, but I want to let you know that you will get a 30% discount if you call their 800 number, 959-1007, 800-959-1007. Give them the code DS30. That's for Donna Sebo, an abbreviation, Donna Sebo 30. You're going to get 30% off. This stuff really works. I swear by it. It's wonderful. I even use it on my Scottish Terrier. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. I came across this story, and to me, I laughed when I read it. And maybe I have a weird sense of humor, but there's a guy by the name of Anthony Miller, and he was really acting oddly. He was a robber, but he was acting very strange. When he entered a bank in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, he drew out a BB gun, demanded money, and then asked the teller to call the police. Now, that would make you wonder, wouldn't it? Well, he later explained to the police that he wanted to be arrested so he could get away from his wife. He got his wish. He was sentenced to 3 to 6 years in prison. Oh, my goodness. There had to be a better way of handling situations. Well, I wanted to share that cute story with you because I think it just leads very nicely into this aspect of research that has been done on partners who are busybodies. Yes, they're snoop, 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 snoop. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around someone that digs through your stuff, wants to know everything that you're doing. I've never understood that kind of personality because, to me, there has to be a type of trust between partners. And if you can't have that trust, you should not be in the relationship. Well, one woman was interviewed. She said she always checks her boyfriend's cell phone when he's in the shower. She said, I want to know who he's spending time with. Excuse me? I mean, what is this? This is like old-fashioned jealousy, which I don't think ever becomes out of date. I think that people experience it. I don't care what generation you're in. But this is ridiculous. Violating the privacy of your partner and saying, well, I'm going to check on him. That is just totally inappropriate as far as I'm concerned. Now, 16 countries were polled. What they found in doing research on this, because of technology, it's like checking the emails and Facebook and all of this stuff, it's unbelievable. They said that it was amazing what they discovered. Most people respect the privacy of their partners. And more than 50% they don't peek at their partner's texts or emails. And the United States was really way up there. So people in the U.S. say, I don't want to read messages that are for my spouse. It just isn't appropriate. Now, snoopers, let's just give some information. In Brazil, 45% of the people that they interviewed said that, yes, they snoop. So be careful. You may not want to go with anybody from Brazil. They're snoop, snoop, snoop. India, 33%. And the Russians were right neck and neck with the people from India. Yes, 33%. South Africa was 31%, Malaysia was 26%, Philippines was 25%, the Netherlands was 23%, Spain was 23%, United Kingdom was 23%, Canada was 21%, Mexico was 17%, the United States was 17%, Germany was 15%, China was 13%, France was 12 and Australia was 11%. Isn't it fascinating how every generation has different attitudes about things? So Australians were at the least. They said, we're not going to bother with this. They just strongly believe in a sense of privacy. And I just thought I would share that with you because I think that's one of the things that makes trust between people so important. And maybe you were raised around someone that didn't trust, or maybe someone betrayed you, but somewhere along the line, there has to be that sense of trust, because if you don't, if you believe that everybody's a crook, if you believe that everybody's rotten, if you believe everybody's dishonest, what a miserable life you're going to have. Now, are there those people out there? Absolutely, they are. But really, overall, we're in the minority. Trust is very important. I wanted to share a story with you about a woman. Her name is Regina Mason. This woman is just absolutely awesome. She opened up a baking company, which is an organic pastry shop in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, in 2007. Now, why did she do this? She got laid off from work. That's right. She got laid off. She had been in the food services industry, and she was paid at the time when she was working $50,000 a year. But she said this occurred for the third time. She was laid off in her working environment. And she said a financial planner, when she was talking about what she was looking at, what she should do, he said, you know what? You can invest your money in stocks or you can invest in yourself. So this is what she did. She decided that she was going to invest in herself. She was 55 years of age, absolutely had never run a business on her own, and she got some help to see what it would take for her to open up this organic bakery. And she found it was going to take about $60,000, and she put it together with two components, a bank loan and her personal savings. Her expenses were $8,700 a month, and that included the loan repayment, baking supplies, rent on the shop, a home mortgage, health insurance, and credit card bills. Now, recession hits. She is in an interesting situation. Is she going to make it? Well, she said, you know what? I'm going to make it. Her bakery earns about $150,000 a year. Now, she's a divorced mother of four. She said, being a part of the middle class, we always felt we had enough. But she said, I think people need to know being a part of the middle class is more about how you feel about where you are rather than your bank account. Now, even though she used up her savings to invest in her business, she's managed to save $10,000, and she has a 401k. But she said, you know what? I'm not interested in retirement. Now, here she is at 55. The normal attitude is that by the time you're 65, you're supposed to be ready to hang everything up, which I think is absolutely asinine. She's not planning on that at all. She said, I feel most alive when I can create something, and retirement seems like you just stop. And I agree with her. It's so important for us to look at our lives with an understanding that whatever your skills are, look at Deva, our guest for today. She went through all kinds of modalities, and now she's doing something that for her financially is benefiting her, but also creatively. It is very, very important. But she had to go through a lot of twists and turns. You may have to do your own spiraling special, up or down, to be able to get to the point where you really know what is so meaningful to you. Life demands that you live it. There's no shortcuts, and there's no fairy out there that's going to wave a magic wand over you, making everything absolutely magnificently beautiful and perfect for ever and ever. Life demands participation. And just like the lady I just mentioned that opened up an organic bakery, she found a niche. She had the background in the food industry, and she was able to make it work because she understood the basics and she knew how to work with people to do the things that she needed to do. And she had the support that she was able to pull in to enable her to reach her objectives. That's exciting. You have the same opportunity. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we're talking about Black Genesis. we are going to be discussing the history of Egypt. Don't miss it. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.